What a jam-packed week we've had on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, and it's not even over.
No, we got another day full of questions to answer.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours as we kick it off in our Leaf Hour edition. That jam-packed week just had one game for the Toronto Maple Leafs versus Vegas, and yet it's just storyline after storyline for us. Got off to a pretty good start on Monday, and it hasn't really let up, JB.
Good. That's great. And there's more. Alex Nylander is a Toronto Maple Leaf. He signed a contract today, a one-year league minimum, $775,000.
Before we get to that, I just wanted to say, I don't know if Bunkus did this on his show today, but I went to a concert last night with J.D. Bunkus and my wife.
Oh, okay.
And
it's a good concert?
Excellent concert. Sturgill Simpson, kind of a rock, folk, country kind of guy. It was unbelievable. 3 hours of pure rock and roll at Massey Hall, great venue. And we were having a conversation that, you know, a lot of people would make fun of Swifties for like the glitter and the friendship bracelets and all like the costumes that they wear. And then I went to the concert and I'm like, oh, so our costume is just a plaid jacket, jeans, and a hat. And it was like
just
literally
like every single dude there.
We had the outfit on. We saw white guy Taylor Swift last night, Sergio Simpson. We were all wearing the same outfit.
You didn't go to the concert exactly the way you look now.
No.
This is dressed up, Sam.
You get what you pay for. But
you didn't want to sell your concert ticket last night for $6,000?
No, I bought my concert ticket yesterday, but I just thought it's funny because you make fun of the Swifties for all their like glitter and their. And I'm like,
I had a friend who went to the Taylor Swift concert last night.
Yeah.
Shout out Sam. And she said it was like damn near a religious experience. It's more than a concert, she said. You know, it's a show, it's a full Super Bowl halftime show. So.
And tomorrow's the last time we got to talk about it. Yay!
Is it?
Yeah, it's done tomorrow night.
Six?
Yep. Last night. Last night's tomorrow, right?
Blue Jays Way is currently Taylor Swift Way.
Sick.
Do you know that?
Is that what they're calling it now, officially?
They sure are. You know, if you bring millions of dollars to town, people will let you do a lot of things.
Including?
It's a good rule of thumb.
The whole police force.
Yeah, whatever
you
need at your
in.
Disposal.
Yeah.
Bring in them millies.
They got to get the horse's friendship bracelets, obviously.
All right, Sammy, where do we start? You mentioned Nylander, you guys, and that's based on the fact that Nyes will not be around this weekend for the Toronto Maple Leafs, unavailable. He's ruled out Sunday versus Utah.
Why don't we listen? Oh, do you have something on this for the coach?
Yeah, I think we'll play the Nyes update, then I can talk about it.
All right, clip one, please.
Yeah, same. Like, he's improving, which is good, so... That's good. That's good news. That's about it.
Just Sunday remains on the table, potentially.
No, it'll be out Sunday.
Do you have a timeline beyond Sunday for him? Like a sense of
no, not right now. Like okay. I said, it's upper body still, and if he keeps progressing in the right direction, then possibility down the road here soon.
Okay, was that actually Craig Berube talking about Matthew Nyes, or did you just clip out
Matthews?
Matthews
could be the same guy,
and then put Nyes in there as a substitution because that sounded exactly the same.
Upper body progressing, not quite ready. Little from column A, a little from column B.
We'll see. So, the reason that the Leafs are in this predicament with Matthew Nyes now on IR is because of the hit that I was going to say we yelled at each other about, but I yelled at you guys about yesterday, and you yelled at me. Is the player safety thing yesterday was remarkable to me. That Leaf Nation, I guess, has been so outspoken and so, loud about this department. And there's other teams that have had issues with them, the Rangers.
You'd be happy about the league showing preferential treatment for you and Leaf Nation, that they would go out and make a video just for you.
Here's what I'll say.
If you're going to call balls and strikes, you got to show people where a strike zone is. They're trying to do it for
you. Not just any people, though. Maple Leafs. If that same hit happened in Columbus, there's no video.
No.
I mean, yeah, that's for sure. And I just think it's pretty remarkable that George Peros is such a diehard listener of Real Kipper and Bourne. I think it's a really amazing, you know, that the guy listens into our show every day and he's like, I got to put out a video, a super murky, confusing video that doesn't give you the answers to anything.
I mean, we gave you
the clean version. He's put out a 6-minute video trying to convince everybody on these bang bang plays. All you're doing is confusing people more.
Well, there's at some point you can't help people then.
No.
Because it's like, hey, north-south hits are legal unless you jump. East-west hits, a little more difficult to execute, and you might catch the head. Be careful.
Yeah, I don't know. It just was very murky to me and just felt like he's listening. Felt like he, you know, it's like somebody.
I would say they're listening to the greater.
It's like somebody.
The
it's like somebody.
Noise.
It's like somebody trolling me on Twitter every day, being like, "You're an idiot. You're an idiot." And finally, I explode on them. They gave the response to the people.
I think it's an intense amount of ego to assume that you or we have created
me?
This at all.
I'm talking about me as a whole with the fan base. Yeah. This is the Leafs fans have this department in their crosshairs. There is no fan base that leans on this department near as much as the Leaf fans.
Ample proof that it's a lot more sensitive for the league office, the safety department, when it comes to things that happen in Toronto compared to anywhere else in the league. That's a given.
It's where it's loud.
Yes.
So
I give you that.
Okay. Thanks.
But
I got one. Yes.
That what gets you a cup of coffee.
Yeah. So it's good on them for trying to explain something. And now Matthew Nyes is on the IR for a clean hit.
I will say this, that lots of people appreciated your effort on behalf of Leaf Nation. They did. You got a lot of love last night
thanks.
For sticking up for yourself against me and JB. And
that's not what I'm looking for here.
No.
Listen, this is the equal side of the other ones, too, boys. You got to read my mentions.
Fans out there.
Yeah, that's nice. It's nice. It's
again,
fun.
That and the cup of coffee, that's all you get.
Yeah.
Right? Barely.
So, no, I thought it was a pretty interesting video, and they have literally never done anything like that ever. And
I wonder if they'll start doing it a little bit. Like, it is nice to not just have the suspensions explained, but sometimes the non-suspensions too. Just like, here's why this didn't meet the standards. I think that provides some clarity for people.
We don't know how long Matthew Nyes will be out, but I would probably guess maybe 2 weeks. I think they're a little bit closer on the let's be very careful side here.
Yeah.
There seems to be a history here. We know what happened when he first got called up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, getting a concussion.
He did, right.
And, like,
forgot about that.
Yeah, there's...
Was it Tampa Bay or Florida?
It was Florida, maybe.
It was Bennett.
It was Bennett.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that.
When you defended Bennett for assaulting him behind the net, punching him in the head.
I don't defend anything. I just tell you the way it is. That's all. But...
at least he let it go.
It's there is some concern about a guy that has shown signs of being prone to concussions.
You know, absolutely, and cross my mind too, right? It's scary when guys start to pile them up, but then, you know, like a guy like Sidney Crosby, he had issues early in his career, and some guys just...
Yeah. No. I'm just saying, though, like if he ends up being like a day-to-day for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, don't be surprised.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's basically the point I'm trying to make.
Just in first blush, after it happened, he was clearly like, you know, in trouble. But when he got to the bench and he was sort of sitting there on the bench and they put the camera on him, you know, you see some guys that they got their head down. Like, it looked to me that he was all right. Mm-hmm. Like, he looked like he was there. He looked like he was looking around. Like, he looked like he was a little bit loose.
I didn't get that at all.
No? You got the opposite?
I got the spacey guy.
Did you? You're not surprised that this is going to be a longer-term thing?
No, I'm not saying that it will be. He can wake up on the weekend and feel great and want to play as early as next Wednesday. Is that Florida?
Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Okay. Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. Yeah. So I think at the earliest, he'd be, if everything points in the right direction, he'd be pushing to, I want to play in Florida.
So when you played, you said you've had like 5 or 6 concussions. Is that?
Again, they're... what I deem a concussion, what right. you deem getting your bell rung or shaking off the cobwebs. But yeah, I think we'd be in the ballpark.
Right. So what is it like? So I never had any diagnosed concussions. Yeah. What is it like when you're trying to get back? You know, you're days removed from the hit. Yeah. What does that feel like?
It's whatever your symptoms are, and we can get hit in the same spot, and your equilibrium's off. Mine's okay, but I got sharp headaches, and everybody's wired the way they're wired, and you can have different symptoms if we pretty much got hit the same way. But the general feel is whatever you're suffering, if you come back too early, you're just putting your foot on the accelerator of a car and you're speeding up all those symptoms.
You have to be fully clear of it all.
You have to be fully clear. So as far as I'm concerned, there has to be some protocol now where you come back, you ride a bike for 20 minutes, half an hour, you're symptom free. You don't feel like you're, you know, going to fall off of it.
Right.
And then you progress. But I think it's standard now on a hit like that a guy should be out 7 to 10 days guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
That's what they do in the NFL now with the Tua rule or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think I forget what the actual rule is.
Minimum, you're missing the next game.
Yeah. Like they've put in some stuff with that too. You know, there is something to be said for just being out for a long period of time, 7 days guaranteed if it's a concussion. I actually don't mind that, but you can probably, I'm not speaking from experience here, but I'm sure you can wake up one day being like, you know what? Today is great.
Yeah.
I'm ready to rock. And then you step one foot on the ice and you're like, oh my God, I am not ready to rock. Yeah. So.
And the other thing too is I don't know to what degree you've been in a car accident, right?
Yeah, but, I also took a slap shot to the face, so I have some sense of...
I was in a head-on collision when I was a kid. Yeah.
Okay.
When I was a kid with my dad, yeah.
But it's
explains
like,
a lot.
It's like...
Just going to make that joke, and I chose not to.
Whatever level of a car accident you've been into, the next time you're in a car, you feel a lot more vulnerable.
For sure.
Right?
Yep.
And you're like, it's a little unnerving a little bit. It's not that much different when you're coming off a concussion to go back on the ice. Mm-hmm. And then take that first contact, or where are you on time and space? How comfortable are you? To Dr. Dana's point, how much anxiety are you feeling around? You know, Gary Galley made an excellent point on the hit, and which we never discussed all week, was the back pressure and how that probably played a key role in Nye's now looking at different angles to get a puck
about
in
that way rather
so
than this way.
All of that comes into play. How's he going to feel when he comes back in? You know, he has had a notion of leaning in a lot, and we've seen him. He's laid out some big hits this year.
Oh yeah,
him and Pacioretty, they've been real big and heavy on the body here. You hope that he just picks up where he left off when he comes back, but there's a sense that once you get hit like this on a couple occasions, it takes a while to come back and get your comfort zone.
I wonder if this would encourage him to sign a long-term contract. You know what I mean? Just like the fear of like you never know, just that reminder that like nothing is guaranteed in this game and it can be taken away. Listen, and you feel like you're at a peak here.
We've got, over the years, we've got a ton of examples of guys just saying, hit that number and I'll sign it.
Yeah.
And you could regret it in a year or two and you're going to have to live with that.
At least you're getting something.
Mark Scheifele's to me is a perfect example of that on a couple occasions. He signed early because he just wanted that security.
Yeah.
And although I don't know what he's at now, eight?
He's 8'5".
On a long term.
Isn't it him and Hellebuck were both 2'5", right?
Yeah.
I think.
Which is fine. But my point is, we expect it to skyrocket here in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
those, there might be some, you know, remorse, but to your point, at least it's money they know is there and it's coming in and it's good enough. So I think you make a very, very good point here that if he's, I don't know.
We talked about 7 times 8 before. I think I'll do that.
Don't know. you know what degree he's been knocked around in college.
Yeah.
But if he's had a couple already,
sucks.
Maybe if you're the Leafs, you pitch him that way.
And plus, you may never get back in after Alex Nylander and Nick Robertson score 10 goals each over the next couple weeks.
Before we move on to that, just for Leaf fans, this rots big time. Because
Nice.
Because yeah. He was,
Nylander.
For me, one of my favorite parts of watching this season. Like, there's just his progression. Like
the new
he's the first kind of guy that they've had that comes up under the core that has actually contributed. Like the draft pick that comes in and he's overperforming his contract. He just looks great. He's big. He's strong. And it's just, this one worries you. Concussions are a scary thing. So hope he's okay, but it sucks for Leaf fans.
Yep.
Now, if I told you by game 20, if I would have told you before the season started by game 20, the Toronto Maple Leafs down the middle would look like Tavares, Holmberg, Minton, and Dewar, you would have looked at me like I had a third eye on my forehead.
I don't believe you.
I would have believed it, provided you told me their record was 6-14.
Yeah, I was going to say, they weren't going to be in first place in the Atlantic Division. Right. I wouldn't believe that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's thin, brother. It's real thin. Holmberg is got to be... Has anyone been given more opportunity while providing less than Holmberg so far this season? I know we all like him in here and think he's a solid centerman, but God, give me something one night where I go, good play.
Berube, after the last game, said it was his best game of the year.
Okay.
You have to convince me on that one. Like, he shot it into the empty net, I guess. He almost missed, but yeah. I thought, sure, I guess he was playing with Nylander. Maybe that makes you look a little
Sometimes
bit better.
You want to throw a guy a bone and get him feeling good.
Yeah, but I didn't see a ton from him, but I guess the coach did.
So Robertson, I do think Robertson, you know, maybe this is what he needs, right? He gets an opportunity up the lineup. McMahon got an opportunity up the lineup, and all of a sudden he's found his game again.
I know, and he's older. He's the oldest out of all of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's times when you've watched McMahon and you've wanted to almost write him off too. Like, you still got to be patient with these guys. And I know it hasn't looked good for Holmberg lately, but when he's on, there's a physical presence there.
Yeah.
And if they're winning, then you could be patient with some of these guys. And that includes Nick Robertson, who's got one goal.
I mean, Holmberg, I think offensively, some of the stats, he's like one of the worst in terms of offense, like producing offense well on ice, which you can see. Robertson has gotten better at a lot of little things this year. You know, we always said, like, if he could do the little details, eventually, you know, he's going to score goals, and you just need to be able to do things when you're not scoring. Details have been fine. You got to shoot some in the net, though.
He does all the stuff except the thing that you want him to.
It's like we were asking him to do these details between the goals, but there still needs to be goals.
There's a big sort of faction of Leafs Nation that really – really wants Robertson to work and really loves Nick Robertson and believes that he hasn't gotten enough opportunity and believes that there's still more to give. There, it really is if a part of the fan base that exists.
But
this is their last stand,
vision,
boys. This is the last stand.
But you need a vision to say, what does that look like?
I don't agree with it.
What does it look like? Like, okay, you were high on his stock at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you thought maybe he had a real legitimate shot at 25 goals?
I said he could score 25 goals on a bad team.
Okay. But I
think he could have scored 20.
We did an over-under on him.
I said 20 for the year for the Leafs, over 20.
Yeah. Okay. And how did you envision that on the third line?
Yeah. I mean, last year he scored 14 times in 57 games, playing 11 and a half minutes on the third line. So to me, he was a guy who doesn't need a lot of opportunity to shoot it in the net. He just needs... play 82 games, you get enough looks. The way he shoots the puck, he's going to score 20. I've changed my mind on that. That was my preseason mentality.
Mm. Okay, what changed your mind?
I would say just the lack of chances he's getting. And part of that is, to me, playing with guys who haven't put him in spots. But that's concerning that he can't create his own shots. He's not getting... There's very few moments, and he had one off a rush last game, where I'm like, ooh, he usually puts that in. He's just not getting opportunities at all.
Yeah, what's his shots per game?
Like, he's actually, I think in like 15 of the 20 games this year, he's had one shot.
So,
you know, like yeah. he's not getting shots.
Is he not an elite enough thinker on the ice to get in those spots, or is it a physical thing? Because we do know that guys that are that size have had success, but we're talking about like elite. Yeah. And he was elite coming out of junior.
Yeah.
But that's the next biggest, best league in the world now.
I love the point you're making here, which I think is if you're going to be small and a scorer in the league, you got to have like this offensive brain that's like Cole Caulfield.
Off the charts.
Johnny Gaudreau, Marner, Kane.
Right.
You know, and he doesn't have that.
No.
He doesn't see the ice.
Listen,
like
Cole Caulfield, I don't know what he has, 13 goals?
Yeah, he might be near the top of the league.
Half of them are off the post on the power play.
Yeah.
So it's hard for him too.
Yeah.
And let's not mention Connor Bedard, who's supposed to be much stronger physically with the big legs. Like, this guy can't get a sniff now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, elite at that size is the only way to go.
And can you name any players in the league who are that size, not elite in terms of offensive producers or thinkers or whatever, but guys who just score 15 or 20 at 5'9"?
Zuccarello.
Okay. And he's competitive, physical.
Elite thinker, though.
Same. Okay. And
but not to score big numbers.
Right.
But to be effective.
And right spots.
And have a presence.
Connor Garland.
And can influence a hockey game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Connor Garland. And he's in your face, in the crease, falling on the goalie. When he's not scoring, people are like, I want him dead.
He's got a bad face.
Bad face.
Good wearing that turtleneck up to you. You're just like, all you want to do is hammer
him. It's the best.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, but like, so we're naming a very specific type of guy who isn't Cole Caulfield. And then beyond that, there's no one who's just kind of waits around to score 15 and plays. Like, it doesn't exist in the league.
No.
So he's young. He's getting opportunity here. He has to score goals now.
Do you want to hear the coach talk about it?
Yes.
On an opportunity potentially to get in the top six?
Very much so.
I think it's clip.
Well, I mean, he's getting some looks. He had a couple last game. He's just got to keep working. He's working hard. He's skating and using his speed. And, you know, he got a chance to play with, you know, we'll see here going on Sunday. But with Willie, you know, he gets in a good area of the ice and gets open. You know, there's a guy that can find him. And, you know, just he's got to put a couple in and get some confidence.
I would like to see him with Marner. Way rather see him with Marner. Willie's a shooter. Robertson's a shooter. Holmberg creates less offense than David Kampf.
I'm not splitting up Marner and Tavares and McMahon right now to try to get
Robertson going.
No, like that's
a good point.
You know,
that's a good point.
I don't need Robertson to be carried around by Marner. Like, try it.
It's not that you got the secret sauce in the third week of November here, but you're not really messing too much up here.
No.
Because it does give you the success, the goaltending, the shutdown, and I know you're going to get into some numbers here, but you're not, Berube's not messing with too much here.
I mean, I guess not. You know, like it's, there's nothing solid. Like the only, we're just sitting here going, we can't break up Tavares, Marner, and McMahon. Well, they've been together for four games.
When your lineup has eight regulars out.
Yeah.
If you have a line that's like halfway decent.
Yeah, yeah.
Untouchable.
I'm with you.
Untouchable.
I'm with you that I get why they're doing it, but I just
like I'm listening to Berube and he's being very careful and complimentary. Like
what else you do?
But you don't need to go put pressure on Nick Robertson right now to go score.
Why not?
You don't.
No, not put pressure on him, just say
because it's the greater picture of the team. That's why. And it's not, hey, everything's great, but, you know, Nick, like, what am I going to do with you?
No, you're right. In the public, there's no point.
Right? There's no point. There's no point. And
there's no point.
I don't think behind the scenes, they're hey, come to the rink, work hard, and let's just all hope for the best.
But this is how you treat someone you've given up on. You know, when you're like, oh, just, like, let him do his thing, and we'll get rid of him eventually.
If we didn't have eight guys out, he probably wouldn't be here anyway. Yeah. So.
I don't know what giving up.
Well, it means if you don't want to talk to him behind scenes either, you're just going on whatever.
You'll always value, like, if you're in the org, if you're with the parent club right now, and even if you're a healthy scratch or not, you are of value to us. You are an asset. So if it means staying positive for you, if it means flipping you in a week or at the trade deadline, I got to keep you engaged. I cannot give you any thought other than listening to the Real Kipper and Bourne show that you have no chance of ever playing in a playoff game.
I'm going to ask the question here. Are we sure Nick Robertson isn't closer to waivers than he is to trade?
Yeah, we're sure. Yeah, he's still got value.
He
right?
will what? Get claimed.
Yeah.
He will get claimed.
But, like, what are you going to get from a seventh, a sixth? Like, they're not getting anything for him.
No, but you
Kip keeps saying the word package.
You could put a package together, and I think there could be some value in an additional team going, I can't score.
TV set.
I can't score.
Johnny Thiel throwing an amulet.
Right? We can't score. Let's give the kid a shot. Okay. That's the way it usually works.
San Jose, Columbus, Philly, absolutely.
You know, Utah?
I would pick him up in a heartbeat.
Once upon a time.
Yeah, this preseason when he tricked everybody again?
Once upon a time.
Quit scamming adults.
I told you. I tried to say
you
trade
told
him.
Me he was going to be a star.
I tried to say at the end of the trade him right this second. It was like, oh, this is the year. This is the year.
Once upon a time, Marty St. Louis was kind of like Nick Robertson.
Oh, my.
Yeah, Craig Button.
Oh, go back to Calgary, buddy. Back to Nick Marty St. Louis. And
Nick Robertson was picked in the second round. Marty St. Louis was undrafted.
I'm not talking about, like, where you came in from and what your upside was coming out of college or junior. I'm just saying, small player, not sure he can play in this league. That's all.
Okay.
I know we're going to be sitting in here next year, and at some point Sam's going to go, God,
no.
Robertson got his 11th goal in 12 games.
I will not be doing it.
There'll be a stretch of play where, not that you want him, but are we sure?
You made it aware to me today. You were like, where's Timothy Liljegren play again? I was like, San Jose. And
I
went
and
looked.
To Google that.
And he's playing like 20 minutes a night. Haven't thought about him since.
Okay, we got some love for John Tavares?
Yeah, he's just talking about how great he is.
Okay.
But do you want to hear it? Okay, let's play it.
Well, he's played good hockey. I mean, even before Austin went out. I know he was sick for a bit, kind of pushed him back a little bit. But since he's got his, feeling good again, he's been great. I think, he's so good and tight and positionally and really strong on a stick, winning one-on-one battles. And, his work ethic is outstanding. And, that he's just going to be solid all the time because of his work ethic. And I think, his experience as a player and, on both sides of the puck, he's done a real good job for us.
Okay. That's perfect. We're going to do some questions here.
Yeah, so just for those of you that aren't following Sam on his social media, you put out a message today saying that you're encouraging everybody to send in questions on our Off the Rails Friday, which will include Doug McLean at the top of the hour.
And I have a perfect one off the back of that a clip. And this is from Leafs Truth on Twitter. What are the odds of John Tavares making Team Canada? He is tied for 12th amongst Canadian forwards in points this year. He is dominating faceoffs, has a long Hockey Canada resume, has captained and captained Canada at the World Championships just 6 months ago. 15 forwards make the roster.
Yeah.
15 forwards make the roster?
According to Leafs Truth. And maybe a Leafs lie.
4%. 4% chance.
Yeah, I don't see them going to Tavares under any circumstances.
I will say it's, I put out my tweets on Macklin Celebrini today, which on my Twitter account, Celebrini's like tops of all these sneaky categories. Tavares shows up in a lot of stuff. He's second in the NHL in puck battle wins. Like he's competitive. He's hit a lot of posts. He's,
for me,
yeah,
he's pushing harder than I've ever seen.
Good on faceoffs. Yeah.
Right.
And does that not sound like a good fourth line center for Team Canada?
Do you think it is?
I'm not totally against. At the start of the year, I would have laughed you to the room.
Yeah.
But watching him play since he's been sick,
he's going to beat
out excellent.
Adam Lowry? Is that?
Yeah, like I'd rather have Lowry.
Is he?
I mean, I don't think Adam Lowry's in consideration, is he? Is he?
Yeah.
Who would you rather have?
On the team? Probably John Tavares.
Oh, bud, you haven't been paying attention to Winnipeg.
Yeah, I have. They're really good. They're 16-3-0.
No, he is.
They lost to the Leafs.
He's been the best third line centerman in the league.
Been super, super effective.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
End of story.
But when you can have a team's first line center as your fourth line center,
they
that's
did
probably
that
what you
in 2010.
Do.
They did that.
Okay.
And he was
okay.
there 14 years ago to help be that role guy.
Listen, but, I'm not all in on this. I'm just saying there's way more of an argument than there used to be.
He's 34 years of age, or 33 turning 34. I'm not sure what it is. It's like, it's moved on. It's just moved on. And let's.
He was the captain of the world championship team last year.
Yeah. What place did they finish?
I don't know. They almost lost to Germany.
Right. They almost lost, right? Dead last?
I think they almost lost. They blew a 5-goal lead in Germany, maybe, in that tournament. Is that right?
Listen, it was a wonderful.
Lost to Switzerland in the shootout.
Did you get a ribbon for fourth?
Yeah. They did.
I don't think it's out of the question.
I'm not taking. If it's 50, I'm not taking anything away from what he's been able to do. The man has been. His back has been against the wall. Mm-hmm. It was not a fun day watching your kids put on a Matthews jersey with a C on it. Like, come on. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
And then there's others, and I've challenged him to find another role. As well as he's played up until this point, do you envision now him being the second-line centerman for the Toronto Maple Leafs to try to win the Stanley Cup, or are they going to go out and try to find something else that can move him in and out of importance?
Like, if you can find a good third-line center, then, yeah, I don't think it's out of the question. I do think that it's important that they actually deal with these guys in a way we've talked about, where there should be legitimate rest, intentional rest for a guy like him to get the most out of. We talked about Mark Giordano in past years and like, rest this guy. And they're like, well, he doesn't like it. And it's like, maybe he doesn't know best.
Too bad.
And that's how I feel with Captain Amulet here, that maybe sitting out a couple of matches might be best for the fresh legs.
Yeah.
Let's go to break, and I'll take a bunch of questions after the break.
Okay, you heard the man. He is Sammy, and he's our producer. More of the mailbag with Sammy after the break on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee on this Off the Rails Friday. So, no Adam Lowry, Anthony Cirelli, as JB has on his list?
Yeah.
Is that good for you over Tavares?
Cirelli?
Yes.
I like Cirelli.
Down the middle, McDavid, McKinnon, Point, Crosby, Cirelli. Pretty good. Pretty good.
I like the forwards a lot for Canada. Really good. Really good. And you get... Anyways, you guys want to do some more questions here?
All right.
What do you got for us, Sam?
This one's from at ZachSmith44. The Leafs currently in first in the division. Do you guys think they'll be able to stay there at the end of the season? And if they do, how much better are their odds of going deep in the playoffs? Third rounder better? How about two rounds? Third rounder better is crazy. But the question is the first in the division.
Yes. Very much on the table.
Very much.
And go for it.
Yeah, very, very good chance. Looked at it a little bit today. I've got an article up on their quarter season performance. The thing that gets me is the second wild card team, like whoever sneaks in, not going to be great probably, right? Like Boston's 500. There's eight teams within 2 points of them, basically. The first wild card team right now is the New York Rangers, who have a 684 winning percentage. The Metro has some good teams. You're probably going to draw a pretty good team if you don't win the East. Like if you win the Atlantic, finish behind the top team in the Metro, you're playing one of the Devils, the Capitals, or the Rangers probably, which is fine, better than Florida.
There has never been a more guaranteed lock than Sheldon Keefe's Devils.
I actually do think it's very likely that Leafs win their division and they draw the Devils in round one.
And they win.
Timestamp, November 22nd, 4:39.
And the New Jersey Devils win.
No.
But as far as Florida and Tampa Bay, they've gotten weaker. Yeah. If that makes any sense, they're still good, but
there's not the
they
same
haven't gotten
as
better.
Been. Yeah,
and there's a chance that with a tight salary cap as well, I don't know how much they're going to be able to improve. But that can be said for the Toronto Maple Leafs as well.
Yeah,
but like Tampa Bay's still got guys in their prime, but Vasilevsky has looked a lot more human than he ever has before.
They gave up a touchdown to Columbus last
year. You just wonder about, again, wear and tear on them. Florida's got some issues still.
They're the best team in the Atlantic.
But right now, they certainly look like today that they are, the to your point, the best.
And, you know, it'd be nice to see them healthy if that'll ever happen. But, like, what'll happen if they get Cali Yarncroft? They get all seven back. Like, it's going to look very different.
Going to look good.
Quite good.
This one's from our friend Nick Richard. Would love to get your guys' thoughts on the White Cloud hit and what Marner's next contract might look like.
Okay, watch Monday and Wednesday show. That. Send him a tape of Monday and Wednesday show.
Shout out my boy Nick.
That's a good
one. That was a good one.
A
lot of buzz about a possible return, this is classic Leaf fans, of Kadri or Ryan O'Reilly as the 2-3C this week. If you could only take one guy back, who are you taking?
Out of those two?
Oh, Kadri all day long. Stanley Cup champion now. But, and not okay, that Ryan I'm O'Reilly doing, isn't, so, but I take Kadri.
Kadri makes $7 million until 2029.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe O'Reilly makes $4.5 million for three more years. It's enough for me to say O'Reilly. I also just prefer O'Reilly.
O'Reilly left here, had the option of signing, and did
doesn't
not
want to be
like
here.
It here.
Doesn't
so,
want to be here.
So that's, why? Like, that's he, but there was, he's not coming here.
Kipper, there was, you know as well as anyone, that there was conflicting reports as to why he left here. And everyone said that it was the market, and he hated the market, and he hated the limelight. But there was also a lot of people talking about the relationship with Sheldon Keefe, with him. The smoke and the fire with that. It's like, well, Berube is the guy he won the cup with.
I'll be honest, I never heard that.
What? We did a show where it was like a thing. Oh, yeah, that was a whole thing.
Ryan O'Reilly and Sheldon Keefe?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of different things.
Was that one?
That was a thing. That was like a narrative we talked about.
I don't remember. Much.
Okay, well, I mean, we do 100 shows a week. I mean,
Sheldon's Devils are going pretty well here. Let's not drag Sheldon into
Here's
this.
Here's what I know. Ryan O'Reilly didn't want to be
like,
here.
It's like anything else. You're going to have a group of guys in a room that get tired of the head coach and where Ryan sat on all of that. I don't know, but I probably guess it wasn't great.
Yeah.
I just think it would... I don't know if I want a guy that made it abundantly clear he didn't want to be here just such a short while ago.
Yeah, I also... For sure. I also am like a raging ageist in hockey, and I just... I think in playoffs, like having energy and guys who really fly and hit and...
Yeah, for the first round... But then you get to the second round and the third round when the game slows down.
Is that
you guys,
when old guys get good?
Well, no, but it's just, you know, he's a guy that you can picture when a game slows down a little bit. He controls the play. He's good defensively. I like Ryan. I would obviously take
they're
Kadri.
Great hockey players.
I would clearly take Kadri.
Yeah.
But like in a vacuum without the contracts, it's Kadri. But if you're talking contracts, I think you got to lean Ryan O'Reilly. What do we got here? I think this is from Ange Express on Twitter. I think the Leafs made a mistake signing Domi over Bertuzzi. He would have fit so well with Marner and Matthews, and he's a guy that goes to net and causes chaos. Domi just blends in with the rest. Thoughts?
My favorite thing, and I think it's you who says, is like Bertuzzi's such a skid.
He's a skid. No question.
But Domi's almost $2 million cheaper than Bertuzzi.
For sure.
So that's...
I think he is $2 million cheaper. Not, Bertuzzi's making five times four.
It wasn't an option to... sign Bertuzzi and not sign Domi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Just couldn't fit.
Bertuzzi's. So,
like what's, Domi hasn't scored a goal in what, 19 games now?
Has he scored this year?
No goals.
Yeah.
No, but
going back to last year,
going back, I think it's close to 20 games.
Yeah.
It might be.
Like it's a lot. It's a lot, and it's easy for people to say they shouldn't have paid him.
Mm-hmm.
But you just hope that value and that depth that he has shown and provided in the past will come right back.
You know, I didn't like the length of the contract, but I understand, you know, pretty good player. You got to give them something to get them to stay. But these guys who make $3 million, $2, $3, $4 million, they take the most abuse from fans.
Well, they're caught.
It's the hardest spot to be
in. They're caught.
Because you don't get the opportunity of the guys who make six, seven, eight, but you're still expected to produce. And it's Alex Kerfoot made $3.5 million.
Here we go.
Shut it.
Here
Alex
we go.
Alex Kerfoot made $3.5 million yeah. here. He had 51 even strength points.
Yeah, which is a ton.
And people couldn't run him out of here fast enough.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's great, but I'm saying because of, you know, he made 3.5, people think that's 6.5. He was huge value for the money, but.
By the way, returning with the Utah
Hockey
Club.
Did he score an overtime winner for
them
in the playoffs in the series they won?
He did.
Yeah, what
did.
A loser.
He tipped one in. Yeah, he's coming back with Utah this week, right? He's on Utah?
I'm not saying you miss him.
He's going to probably score a goal. That's probably.
The other tricky part with those guys at 3.5 is that when they don't have the numbers to support, they can look a lot closer to the 875 guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, for sure.
So,
it's like, what are you providing
and
above the
so,
875 guy?
Lorenz. Yeah. Or are we saying Lorenz? What are we saying?
Say whatever you want.
I say Lorenz.
Lorenz.
I love Lorenz.
Okay. Love him too. And I made that abundantly clear, but the guy is making like under $1 million.
Sure. If he's
now, if it was today, would you trade him? Like, where's his value to the Leafs compared to Domi's right now with no goals in 20, right?
I don't know. I love
him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you're that middle guy like that, it's more of like, okay, like, he's not close to the sixth guy. He's closer to the third and fourth line guy.
I was watching some of that cup final the other day last year's, and like Lorenz is out there doing his thing. You know, like this guy's been in those sort of moments, and I like him a lot. But I get your point.
Undervalue guys. Yeah. I don't know what.
Hopefully, when the cap goes up, we have less of a deal of money, right?
Just to understand how some teams wouldn't even like look at this guy for a PTO, and the Leafs did. Is just mind-boggling to me.
This is from iBelief on Twitter. It's been a while since we had this conversation. What's the max term and AAV you would offer John Tavares?
You guys are not going to like me on this one. I don't think it works. I don't think it works. Like, if you're looking to remake this core, let's say you lose in the first round this year.
Yeah.
And you're looking to redo the core, like, You're so much worse without Mitch Marner. You need Mitch Marner as a part of the solution. Tavares is the guy where you're like, you need someone who's Adam Lowry. You know, you need someone. I know, but if he takes $4 million, it still doesn't work.
It's a loaded question again because I don't know.
That's all we do.
We don't know what it looks like for success.
We know what
for
it looks
John,
like for failure, though.
This is the same
we
cast
do.
Of characters.
Out in the first round.
Yes.
Right?
It doesn't work. So
and
whatever the cost is, I don't
so
want it.
Like, are you moving forward? You're going to give him a 2 or 3 year deal as if he's the second line centerman and he's continuing to score 60, 70 points, Sammy?
But if
I have
pay,
no idea. I don't
if,
know. I don't know. I have no idea.
Pay him
that's right.
I can't answer this question.
$1 million. It doesn't work.
But is it $1 million to be on the fourth line and that's the look you want?
And you want Spezza and Thornton and Marlowe and those guys at the fourth line? It doesn't work.
Is John going to wrestle guys off a scrum for the next 3 years?
And now I could be proven wrong, right? This year I want it to work. If they get another great center, Tavares looks great this year, it could work, and I could see it. A couple of rounds, talk to me. But right now I haven't seen it.
When you start teetering on a guy that is not a great skater, in his mid-30s.
You're talking multiple years.
And you're talking multiple years, and you want to think about committing $5 million or $6 million. I think it's crazy talk.
Particularly because he's going to get 60 points this year, right? Mm. 25 goals and 60 points, and, you know, that's worth some money. Bertuzzi just signed 5.5 times 4, and he had 20 goals last year. So
you're going to... We assume they're going to trade for
Sentiment. Does he want to be Giordano and just be in Toronto with his kids and play for...
Right, you got Minton coming. It's like, where's he going to fit?
I have no idea. No answer.
I hope this is the best version of Tavares they ever get. I hope he's awesome. I hope it all works, but you need
and then you soak it and you let him go.
All right.
Great.
I'm going to do a read before we do our last question, okay? So who wants to win a bunch of cash while doing the best thing this holiday season? It's Sportsnet 590 Fans 50-50 Fortune supporting food for kids. Here's what you need to know. We've created a 50-50 lottery where the more money we raise, the more kids we can feed in the GTA, and the more you can win. The current take-home price is almost $240,000, boys. Someone is going to win that jackpot on Thursday, December 19th. And if you get your tickets early, there are more amazing early bird prizes, including two sports packages. One is a pair of tickets to an upcoming Leafs game and a signed William Nylander jersey. The second is a pair of tickets to a Jays game and a signed George Springer jersey. Get your tickets by Friday, December 6th at 9 a.m. for the chance to win. For more details and to buy your tickets, go to foodforkids5050.ca or text the word cash to 590-590 and we'll send the link right to your phone. It's the 50-50 fortune supporting Food for Kids, standard message and data rates apply, Ontario only.
Good stuff, Sammy.
Thank you.
Now you got to get Alex Nylander to sign it too.
Yeah. All right, last one. We have 4 minutes to discuss this. If Ed Rogers and Larry Tenenbaum, appoint you Leafs dictator for a day, allowing you to make three sweeping changes, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Changes to the roster, staff, Scotiabank, whatever.
Yeah.
What changes are each of you making?
Big question.
I'll start.
Sure.
If you have a Lower Bowl ticket and you leave before the end of the game in a victory, you forego your tickets for the rest of that week. If you're a season ticket holder.
I'll be honest, I was thinking about how to get people in those seats more. How do you get more?
If you leave before, if it's a 2-0 game and your team has had one of the best performances of the year with a half Marley's lineup, mm-hmm. and you're getting up and leaving before the three stars, you're giving up your ticket to a kid for the next game. Done. That's my first one that I'm making. Thoughts?
I'm never coming over to your house for dinner. I can't leave till after I eat dessert.
Am I just making these changes or am I actually running the business? Because if I'm running the business, you can kick rocks.
Have you got a dungeon in your basement?
No dungeon. Like,
do you allow people to leave when they come and visit you?
So why are you leaving early? It happened
they
again.
They paid for that seat if they want to put a, you know, a
it happened
toy in
again.
It, they
can. Again. It's an incredible win. You're not going to stay to see their goalie get a shutout. You're going to head to the exit. Oh, we're winning. Better leave. What are they doing?
I think
for shame if you leave early in a victory.
I hope you have a good one because shame. I'm only asking for more lamb chops in the alumni room.
You know what mine is? I'm willing to listen on the other franchise in Toronto area.
I love that answer.
I'll take whatever the fee coming my way. Is it $2 billion you're going to pay my organization for the rights to have something nearby and then better serve the people of the area with another hockey team?
And I say, no, I just want to hoard the whole market myself.
Nine. You want to charge Taylor Swift prices for those Lower Bowl seats and then not sit in them?
How about popcorn doesn't cost $12?
You know, a really
is
cool
that,
idea.
Is that fair?
Is that expensive?
Yeah, it is. $12 for
it's
popcorn.
It's really good and
it's
salty,
it's unbelievable
though.
Popcorn. I do it every time I go to any MLSC event.
You need a week to pick it out of your teeth, but that's okay.
When I used to do the Leaf Station post game, I'd be in the press box. I'd have three bags of popcorn.
I don't drink, but the price of beer is absurd.
Yeah.
More bathrooms, bigger bathrooms.
Well, who are you? What's the guy from LA? The Clippers guy?
Balmer. Yeah.
There's no lines. He's got a million bathrooms.
Yeah. The whole place is a washroom. Go wherever you want. It's all urinals.
It's not bad, though.
I got one more.
The lineups are a little tad long, though, to get back to your seat by the time the game starts.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And they're long at the end of the game, too. That's why everybody leaves early. Bring back the reverse retros that they wore last year.
They were so nice.
The ones with the white shoulders with the salming patch on them are legitimately the nicest jerseys they ever wore, and they wore them twice, and they wear black more than they wear those.
You know what's scary is you could do 2 hours yourself on this.
No, those are my three.
Improvements.
Those are my three. Stay in your seat, cheaper popcorn, better jerseys. Yeah. That's it.
He's a man of the people.
That's all I want.
He's a man of the people.
The Leafs should hold people hostage more often.
No, you just have to give up your ticket for the next game.
Sam, you should come in here in a vest. Like a hard hat.
So happy that we get someone that is sane at the top of the hour, Doug McClain. He's going to look like he's like the voice of reason compared to what we just heard out of Sammy.
I'm ready for it.
I don't care. Listen, boys, I'm having a great time. It's time. Okay. It's Friday. Let's get to 6 p.m. here, boys.
All right. Doug McClain, as we go national next on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Don't go anywhere.